Welcome to the Portland Christian Center Podcast. This is the audio version of our live Sunday morning gathering. To view our live Sunday morning gathering, go to pcctoday.com.
Well, happy Mother's Day. What an amazing video our team put together. My favorite is, she can hug me, but she has to ask first. Happy Mother's Day to those who are watching online, those in the room. If you're a mom or a grandma or adopted mom or a spiritual mom, would you stand to your feet? We just want to honor you for a moment. Would you just take a moment and stand to your feet? We want to honor you. You can go, yes, we honor you. You can go ahead and be seated. Happy Mother's Day. We are so glad that you decided to join us on Mother's Day here at Portland Christian Center. I read this quote this week and I loved it. I want to share it with you. I'm not sure who the author is, but it says that being a mom can be tough, but remember, in the eyes of your child, no one does it better than you. And so moms, we thank you today. Thank you for all of the prayers. Thank you for all of the laundry you've folded, the dirty diapers you've changed, the things you've done that no one sees, the prayers that you pray when your kiddos are fast asleep. Thank you. We thank you and we honor you today. Happy Mother's Day. Well, I have two boys. Many of you have met them, but in case you haven't, Titus and Tate, and they're actually in the service today. They're going to be helping me later, but I want to show you a picture of my family, my two boys. This is a picture of us at Disneyland, and aren't they handsome? Titus is 11. That's right. He's waving his hand up there. He's 11, and Tate is 8, and I want you to just look at Tate's smile. Now, does that smile look genuine or forced? That is a forced smile. I forced them to take this picture, and they were not thrilled about it. Why? Because we were in Disneyland, and they had things to do. And so stopping to take a picture was not their idea, but they did it for me. I totally bribed them, and there is no shame in my game when it comes to that. So let me just give you a hint. Families, what your mom really wants, she wants you to pause for one moment today and take a picture with her, smiling and not arguing. That will be a great gift to her. Any of the moms agree with me? Yes. Just one. Just smile and everyone look at the camera at the exact same time. So that is a picture of them in Disneyland, but that's more of like a forced photo. If I were to show you a picture of what my day-to-day life looks like, this is a more accurate photo of what my day-to-day life looks like. That's right, Tate loves to get dressed up right now. His favorite is Darth Vader. Titus is full of life and energy, dancing in the background. And in fact, here in Disneyland, Tate was determined to wear his Darth Vader outfit into Downtown Disney and on the airplane home. And that was not a battle I was gonna fight. Surprisingly, they will let you through security in a Darth Vader outfit and a lightsaber. We figured that out. But in Downtown Disney, Pastor Nate, my husband, he played the Imperial March throughout the whole downtown behind Nate. So Tate had his march. He was his wingman the whole way. It was awesome. Being a mom is such a beautiful journey. It is full of sleepless nights, lots of laughter, and a whole lot of prayer. Asking God, God, you gotta help me. I'm not quite sure how to raise these precious babies you placed in my hands. And you know, before I had children, I had a thought in my head of what I thought motherhood was gonna look like. And you know, I was sure, I remember before I had kids, I was in the store and a mom's kid, one of her kids started having a meltdown. And I remember walking out going, my child will never do that. So this, if I were to describe what I thought motherhood looked like in a picture, you can go ahead and bring up the next picture. This is what I thought it was gonna look like. Everybody's clean, everyone's happy, you know, they're all dressed up, we're out having fun. But if I were to be completely honest about what it feels more like, this is more of what the reality of parenting looks like. It's a walk in the park. Jurassic Park, but it's a walk in the park. I love being a mom. I love all of it. You know, there's things as a mom that I think about often. I think about, what am I passing down to my children? What am I passing down to my kids? What stories are they going to tell about me? Have you ever thought about that? Like, what stories are they going to tell? And 2 years ago, I asked Titus, I was just kind of putting the poll out there, like, I wonder what they've learned from me. So I asked Titus, I said, Titus, what have you learned from me? And he said, well, I got to think about it. So he thought about it, and he ended up writing it in a note for me, and I'm going to show you what the note said. Dear Mom, I think you're really cool. I learned to pull my teeth out from you. I love you so much, Titus. I learned to pull my teeth out from you. Now I'm thinking, oh, like, Mom, you taught me how to pray. You led me to Jesus. You know, no, you taught me how to pull my teeth out. Those are the stories they're going to tell about me. I still have some work to do. But motherhood is such a, it's a journey, isn't it? Motherhood is a journey, and it's an honor to be able to impact the next generation, whether we have given birth to a child or we mother and nurture those around us. It's an honor to nurture the next generation. And this morning I want to ask you this question is, what legacy are you leaving behind? What stories will those in your care, those that you nurture in your home, in your community, what stories will they tell about you? What stories will they tell about you? What are they learning from you? My hope is one day that they'll be able to, my boys will be able to write down a little bit more than just pulling their teeth out. That's my prayer. But what stories will they tell? I want to jump into a story today of a mom who I believe shows us some valuable lessons in what it looks like to leave a legacy of obedience and faithfulness. So if you would turn with me in your Bibles, we're going to turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. And we're going to be reading verses 4 through 7. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied, "How can I help you?" Everyone say that. How can I help you? "Tell me what to do. Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God and said, "Go." And he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." Today, I want to talk to you about this topic, more than enough, more than enough. And my main thought for today is this: God will take what you do have and turn it into more than enough. This woman was desperate. She was desperate. She was desperate because she was grieving. Her husband had died. She was desperate because she had debt, and she didn't have any way to pay her debt off except with the lives of her sons. She was afraid. She was desperate. She didn't know what to do. The situation that she was facing felt impossible to her. Put yourself in her shoes for just a moment. Moms in the room, grandmas in the room, could you imagine being at a place where you were so desperate, you had no way to pay off a debt except to give up your own kids or grandkids? How desperate would you feel in that moment? There would be fear and desperation. And my question is, who do you cry out to when you're desperate? Have you ever felt like you've been in a situation that felt impossible? I know I have. And when you're in the impossible, when you're facing something that causes fear and anxiety and maybe depression or desperation, who do you cry out to? And this woman models for us a beautiful lesson of what to do when we are facing the impossible, when we are facing a situation that seems desperate, where we are afraid or feel like there's an impossibility in front of us. Whether it may be big or small, the emotions that it causes, when we feel this way, what do we do? And the first thing we learn from this lady is that she cries out. So the first thing is cry. I have three simple words today. The first one is cry. She cries out. She cries out, and it says she cries out to the Lord through the prophet Elisha. Now, in those days, Elisha was a prophet, and the prophet was the mouthpiece of God to that generation, to that community. And so her crying out to Elisha is her really crying out to God. I don't know what to do. She's crying out to the Lord. Who do you cry out to when you're desperate? Maybe it's your friends. Maybe it's Facebook. Maybe it's a family member. But who do you cry out to? I want to encourage you with this thought. Who you cry out to makes all the difference in the outcome of what you're going to experience in life. And when we cry out to God, we are crying out to a victorious God. God has never lost the battle, and there is no mountain that is too big for our God. And so when you cry out to the God of victory. You can cry out to other people in your life. I'm not saying to not include others, but what I'm saying is where you put your hope in matters. Who you cry out to matters, and it impacts the direction of your life. It impacts the outcome of the situation that you're facing. And she cries out to God. I know that in a room this size, and those listening online, that there are some of you who have walked into this room today and you feel desperate. You feel desperate. You need God to move in your situation. Maybe you need God to provide a financial miracle. Maybe you need God to move on behalf of your kids. I recognize that on Mother's Day can be filled with a lot of mixed emotions. For some of us, we're walking into this room and we're grieving because we've either lost our mother or we've lost a child. Or maybe you're grieving because there's a disconnection with you and your child and you're asking God to move. Maybe you're here and you're believing that God, you need God to bless you with a child. You've been praying for life to come inside your womb, that today you're crying out to the Lord for help. And I want to encourage you with this, that as you cry out to the Lord, He will fill you with hope and peace. Because here is the bottom line. When you cry out to God, He's got it. He's got it. And when we cry out to God, what we're saying is we're admitting that we need His help. So many times we try to do it in our own strength. But you know what? It's exhausting to try and do it in our own strength. But when we include God in the process, He gives us the victory. That's what the Bible says. We can get excited about that. So no matter what situation you've come in with today, whether you're grieving, maybe you're celebrating, maybe you just feel hopeless today, our God is a God of victory, and that when you cry out to Him, you can rest assured that He hears your cry. He hears your cry. When Nate and I had gotten married, you know, we began asking ourselves this question that most married couples ask is, when should we have kids? And I remember we looked at each other one day and decided we were mature enough to be parents. Little did we know we weren't, but it's okay. God's grace is upon it. But, you know, we got to that point, and so I just thought as we made the decision, it was just going to happen. We just become parents. How hard could it be? And we went through such a process of trying to get pregnant. And I remember there were seasons of devastation within that time because all of my friends got pregnant. One of my friends was trying not to get pregnant and she got pregnant. And I remember feeling this desperation in my soul. God, do you not hear me? God, bless us with a baby. God, we're asking you for this. And it felt as if God wasn't hearing my prayers. But I kept crying out. Keep crying out. Don't stop crying out because God hears you. And even though you may not see the answer yet, He's working on your behalf. And so I kept crying out to God. And one night I woke up in the middle of the night and I kept a journal by the side of my bed because sometimes the Lord will speak to me in the middle of the night. It's not my preferred timing, but if He does, I want to respond. And so I wrote down what I felt like He showed me. And it said, you'll become pregnant this year. Don't worry about anything. I'll take care of everything. And I wrote it down and I went back to sleep. And I woke up and I said, Nate, I had the weirdest dream. And in my dream, I was journaling. And then I had this moment like, oh, I wonder if that was real. So I opened up my journal and sure enough, I had written it down. This happened in October. And so I said, Nate, He's speaking. He's moving. So I was expecting that I was just going to become pregnant quickly. And month after month after month after month went by. And you know what happens when you cry out to God and your prayer isn't answered quickly? we start to doubt if God really heard us. Have you ever felt like that? God, I've been asking you, and I'm not quite sure I'm seeing you move. But he was moving even though I couldn't see it. And so a year came up. It was the October of the following year. And I remember feeling devastated, and Nate can attest to this. That must not have been God. I must have eaten pizza or ice cream or something weird the night before, and I had this weird dream. But I really started to doubt, and so I started going through testing to see what was going on with my body. And I remember the day, I'll never forget the day, we came in to get tested. And while I'm there waiting for this doctor to do different tests on me, he decided that it would be unsafe for me to get the testing done because of a series of events and how I answered questions. He felt like in the rare chance that I was pregnant, it could either kill or maim my baby. Now, in order to get enough courage to go get testing, I was so irritated. I'm like, it took me so much courage, a whole year, to come in to find out. We got in the car, and I looked at Nate, and I said, it would be just like God that I'd be pregnant right now. 1 week later, I found out I was pregnant with Titus. Yeah. That's right. He's a miracle baby. Did you know it was almost 1 year to the day that God spoke to me? God is faithful. He hears your cries. And if his hand was on me, because if I would have had that testing done, it would have killed Titus. When we look back in our life and we think about for a moment the seasons in your life where you've cried out to God, you can look back and see his fingerprints all over it. And sometimes it's hard to know in the moment, but I want to encourage you to take a moment, even right now as I'm talking, to think about the moments where you have cried out to God and you look back now and you say, oh God, you're faithful. I see your handprint there. I see your fingerprint there. And you know what it does? It builds your faith to remind yourself that God is able, that God is working. And in a season beyond this season, you're going to look back and say, my God is faithful. He was working even though I couldn't see it. He's working. He's working on your behalf. Cry out to God. I love this passage in Psalms 18. It says this, in my distress, I called to the Lord for help. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains shook. They trembled because he was angry. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemy. With great bolts of lightning, he rooted them. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. He reached down and rescued me. God is reaching down and rescuing you. When you cry out to him, he reaches down. He reaches down for you. Cry out. What do you need? What do you need today? My God is able. I may not now know how, but I know who. I know who is able, and the God Almighty, our God, he is able. Call on the one who is able to reach down and put you into a spacious place. So this woman cries out to God. And this is what Elisha says to her. He says, What do you have? What do you need and what do you have? And she said, well, I don't have anything. You know, sometimes the little we have, we think is not enough. But in the hands of a supernatural God, he can take what feels like not enough and make it more than enough. And so he asks, what do you have? And she says, I don't have anything except a jar of a little bit of oil. And he says, go and ask all of your neighbors for jars. So the second thing she models for us is to ask, Now, this is hard because could you imagine the humility that it took for her in her moment of desperation, in her moment of need, to go around and ask for jars? I mean, friends, can you just imagine knocking on the door? Hey, Kristen, can I borrow a jar? Actually, can I have the jar? For what? I'm not sure, but for something, great. You know, and having to go around to all your neighbors. And there's a level at which you can almost feel the desperation, but also the tension. I would feel tension in that moment. And I think there can be a moment of pride when we have to ask for help. I don't know about you, but I struggle to ask for help. Maybe I'm the only one in here, but I struggle to ask for help because I'm like, I got it. Because if you ask for help somewhere along the line, I used to believe that if you ask for help, that was a sign of weakness. It's not, by the way. That's not true. But when you ask for help, there's a level of humility that's required. And Nate and I were talking about this last night. Why would he do that? Like, why would he tell her, go and ask your neighbors for jars? And this is what I think the reason is. When she went and asked other people for the jars, her neighbors for the jars, she's modeling this truth that we need each other, that we were not meant to do life alone, and that when we include others into our journey, we actually invite them in to the process of a miracle. Every single person that gave her a jar was a part of resourcing the miracle. Now, I believe that God is a supernatural God, which means that he can move and he can do things that are beyond my comprehension. He can heal people in an instant. He can provide in an instant. But I also believe that God wants us at times to participate in the miracle. So what he's saying is, there's a miracle coming, but here's what I'm asking you to do. And you're going to invite others in. And as others are invited in, you know what happens? God's glory gets shined in so many different places. So here today, I want to encourage you with this. You don't have to do the journey by yourself. You were not meant to do it alone. And when you reach out and you ask others to help, you are inviting them into the process of watching God provide a miracle. And there's two sides to this. There's the ask, and then there's the resource. In different seasons, we get to be both. How amazing that at times when I've been in need, I think about even just moving here to this church. We live away from all of our close family. That has been challenging. And there have been times throughout this journey, these last 10 months, where I have needed help. And I have reached out, and some of you have been so kind and gracious to provide the resources I've needed when I needed help. And you know what's great? Is there have been times along this journey, these last 10 months, where I've then been able to resource and help others in their process. See, that's the beauty of the body of Christ. We're better together. We're better together. We need each other. And the enemy wants us, what he wants us to do is isolate ourselves. Many times when we're hurting or we're struggling, we try to hide. We try to isolate. But you know what this woman is modeling for us? That with humility and hunger for God to move, invite others into your journey. I don't know how to pray with you or for you unless you tell me. Other people can't read your mind. What do you need? And look at this, what do you have? Some of you in here, God is blessed with incredible resources. What's in your hand that God can use to bless other people? Man, all of it is for the glory of God. And so many more people were brought into this story. Can you imagine if let's say that Marina came and asked me for a jar, and I gave her a jar, and then she comes back and testifies how God used that jar? I was a part of a miracle. How amazing is that? We get to be a part and witness a great move of God. So ask. We cry out, we ask, and the last thing is this, we pour. We pour. And he tells her, go into your home. And I'm going to invite my boys to go ahead and come on up here. He says, go into your home and begin to pour with the little oil that you have and fill up all of the jars. Would you welcome my boys up here with me? Love you, boys. All right, Titus, I'm going to have you stand right here. Tate, I'm going to have you stand right here. You know what I love like this? You're going to stand right here, Tate, and you get to hand me the jars. Can you hand me two jars? Okay. You got it. You're awesome. And look, you're on the screen. You look great. All right, pause for a moment. You know what I love about this story? She invited her kids into the process. She didn't do it alone. She invited her kids into the process. We get to pour into the next generation, and kids will model what they see at home. Do you know what this mom is modeling with the doors closed with her two boys, with just a little bit of oil and a whole lot of faith? Is obedience. She's obeying in faith. What she's modeling for her boys is, I believe that God is able, and you get to be a part of it. And so she begins to pour. And one son is putting them on the shelf, and the other's handing them the jars. Okay, Tate, hand me some more jars. You know, as a mother, a lot of times it feels like we're just pouring out. We just keep pouring, and we pouring, and we keep pouring. And there's times where we pour, and we pour, and we're not quite sure what else is left to pour. Have you ever felt like that in moments with your kids where you're pouring out words of encouragement? You're pouring out words of faith. Maybe you are praying faithfully for your child and you keep pouring and you feel like, I don't know if there's anything left. You know what happens? When you keep pouring and you keep obeying in faith, God provides a supernatural impartation. That it's not out of your strength, it's not out of what you can do, but it's what God can do with the little that you have. God will take the little that you have and he'll turn it into more than enough. And what you model for your family, what you model for your kids is that God is able. And I don't know about you, but I want to keep pouring. I want to keep pouring into them that they can believe God, that they can trust God, that even in seasons where it feels like there's not enough, they can keep pouring and they get to be a part of the miracle. They get to witness the miracle. After I gave birth to Titus, I had a massive blood clot in my leg. Many of you know this story. I almost died. They talked about having to amputate my leg. And this has been a part of my journey for the last 11 years. And along the journey, I have asked God to heal me. For 11 years, I've been crying out to God. For 11 years, I've been reaching out for help. And for 11 years, I have been pouring out prayers of faith. And you know the coolest part? These two pray for me. Every night before I go to bed, Titus prays that God would heal my leg. And someday when God heals me, they are gonna be a part of witnessing that miracle. And because it's praying prayers of faith, Tate gets to be a part of witnessing the miracle. Yes, that when we pour out, that when we pour out and we keep pouring, you know what happens? God moves and he impacts the generations to come. I want to impart faith into my kids. I want them to believe that even though it may not look the way I wanted it to look, that I can trust that God has his best for me. God has his best for them and that God is working. Bring your family in. Bring your kids along the journey and teach them, pour into them that God is able, that he is able, and that when you put your trust in him, he will provide all that you need. So mamas in the room, if you feel like you have nothing left to give, keep pouring, because God will give you a supernatural impartation for your family, for your kids, for your faith. And what you're pouring, as you keep pouring in, God is impacting generations to come. This woman is known as a woman of faith and obedience. And it impacted not just her, but generations to come. Would you give it up for my boys? Good job, boys. So today, as the worship team comes, I want to just take a few moments to just pause. God takes what you do have and he turns it into more than enough. And so as we end today, there's a few things that I felt like the Lord has just laid on my heart very specifically for Mother's Day. And the first thing is I just want to pray a prayer of blessing over all the moms. So if all the moms and grandmas and spiritual moms, and if you're called mom in any capacity, would you just stand to your feet? I want to pray a prayer of blessing over you. Lord, I thank you for every mom that's in this room, every mom that's listening online. God, I thank you that you see her. I thank you, God, that she has not gone unnoticed by you. God, I pray that today you would meet her right where she's at. And moms in the room, on Mother's Day, I just want to take a moment to allow you to cry out to God. What are you asking God for? Where are you asking God to move? Just begin to take a moment, just cry out to the Lord together today. God, I thank you that you see every need that's represented here. God, you see what she needs. You see the encouragement that she needs. God, you see the health that is needed for her body. God, you see the areas of desperation where she needs you to move. And God, today we agree together that today as we cry out to you, Almighty God, that we would begin to see victory, victory in our families, victory in our children's lives, victory in our health, victory in our communities. Because God, you are a God of victory. And And God, we bring you the little that we do have. And even though we may think it's not enough, God, we know that you can make it more than enough with just one touch from you. So God, I pray blessing over every mom in this house. I pray that today she would feel encouraged, she would feel loved, and know that you are with her, that she does not walk alone. In your mighty name, amen. Everyone can go ahead and stand. Everybody to your feet. There's two more things that I want to do this morning, and the first thing is this. I'm going to give an opportunity. I'm going to actually ask our prayer partners to go ahead and come off to the sides. Prayer partners, you can go ahead and come. You know, I've been praying and asking God about this day for several months. I've been asking the Lord, God, what do you want to do? And I felt very clearly from the Lord that we were to pray for those here today and online, that if you are asking God to bless you with a child, that today we're gonna pray a prayer of blessing over you, and you know what? God's gonna honor that prayer. We're believing that God is gonna breathe life into your womb, that where there's been barrenness, God breathes life. And I know, I had this picture today as I was talking to some friends. I believe that next year on Mother's Day, we're gonna dedicate the babies that are a blessing from this moment right now. That next year on Mother's Day, we're gonna dedicate all the kids that God blessed us with through this morning. And then next year, we'll pray for more. We're just gonna believe that God is the author of life and that he can take the impossible and make it possible. And so I'm gonna begin to pray. And as I pray, if that's you, you're asking God to open your womb, you're asking God to bless you with a child, would you just come forward and find someone to pray a prayer of blessing over you? We're gonna believe in faith for a miracle. If you're online, I want you to put it in the comments or send a message to our team. And we have somebody ready to pray with you online. We're believing for miracles in the house today. How many of you believe that our God is able? I was reading about Abraham and Sarah today. And did you know that it took Abraham and Sarah 25 years to conceive Isaac? That's a long time. But God is faithful. He blessed him with a child, Hannah. Hannah went to the temple desperate, wanting to have a baby. The prophet Eli spoke prayer blessing over her and she conceived. We see God does this. He can do the impossible. And today we're believing in faith that God is gonna breathe life. So as I pray, if that's you, would you come forward and find someone to pray over you and with you? God, I thank you for today. God, I thank you for every woman that's here, God, who is desiring to have a baby. Lord, we pray in faith and we ask together today that today would be a day of miraculous life. God, that where there's been barrenness, God, you speak life. And we pray in faith today, God, that this would be a miracle. God, that a seed of miracle would be planted today, God. We thank you, Jesus, for the life that is coming. God, we celebrate what you're doing and we believe in faith. Faith today that a miracle is in motion. We believe in faith, God, that life is coming. And we thank you and we praise you in advance for that, Lord. In your mighty name, let's worship together and then I'll come back up with another part of our response today.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you'd like to hear more or learn more about us, visit our website at pcctoday.com or join us online for our live stream at 10:30 at live.pcctoday.com.